Good afternoon. This is Lake Effect Weekend on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Issues such as homicide, motor vehicle deaths, and infant mortality often fill the news, but addiction has taken more lives overall. In fact, both prescription opioids and heroin use cost more lives in Wisconsin than car accidents.
One factor is how easily people can be given prescription painkillers by their doctors. Every year, 9 billion pills of hydrocodone are prescribed in the United States, but roughly half of those are actually taken, which leaves 4.5 billion pills of just one kind of opiate sitting in people's cabinets.
Dr. Michael McNett is a pain management physician and a leader of the Comprehensive Pain Program at Aurora Healthcare. He joins me in the studio to talk about addiction, pain management, and the role that doctors play. Dr. McNett, welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So to start, why is opioid addiction such a rising issue in Milwaukee?
Well, let's look at this in a historical context. When I was initially trained to treat pain in my residency, we really thought of opioids as very dangerous. It was back in the 80s, and we thought opioids were dangerous. They worked well, but we were really afraid of creating addiction. In 1996, OxyContin was approved by the FDA. And this does come after there had been some recognition that people with cancer were not being treated adequately, and there was a rise in the palliative care movement and end-of-life care and being more aggressive in treating pain. But when OxyContin was approved, it was marketed relentlessly by Purdue Pharmaceuticals and extremely aggressive, and they marketed it as a non-addicting opiate because it was long-lasting. Now, there was no evidence to support that. But back then, the FDA let drug companies get away with a lot more than they get away with now. And so then they subsidized the formation of a group called the American Pain Society. And that group then came out with the idea that pain was a fifth vital sign and that we need to be very aggressive about treating pain. We should be checking it on all of our patients all the time. And that an effective pain relief level was zero. And so that resulted in an explosion in the prescribing of opioids. And unfortunately, their marketing was wrong. And OxyContin was addictive, as are the other opioids, although it seems like the drug in OxyContin, which is oxycodone, is a little more addictive than a lot of other opioids. And so what happened is a lot of people wound up getting addicted. Then in about 2010, they came out with a new form of OxyContin, which could not be chewed so that all of the opioid would be released at once. And about the same time, a lot of people who were developing addiction had reached the point where their doctors were getting concerned about them and were cutting them off their prescriptions. And so what happened is that there was an explosion in heroin. The people who couldn't get their drugs right away out of their OxyContin anymore turned to heroin, and these people who got cut off by their doctors. And so we've seen a dramatic escalation in heroin use over the last 3 to 5 years. And now, more recently, in order to provide a more potent product, the Mexican cartels are bringing in fentanyl on top of the heroin, and it's up to 50 times as potent. And so people who are used to injecting a certain amount of powder inject a similar amount that's laced with fentanyl and they die. And we've seen just an appalling increase in the number of deaths. Up until the last couple of years, the prescription opioids actually were responsible for far more deaths than heroin was. Heroin caught up about last year and now appears to be passing it. Each of them, both the prescription opioids and the heroin, cost more lives in Wisconsin than car accidents. It's really a mess.
Let's go back to doctors in the office with patients giving prescriptions for these painkillers. Now, as a doctor, I imagine, you know, how difficult is it to gauge your patients and what truly is that level of pain? You know, starting off, well, here's a prescription after an injury or event, and then trying to stay in tune with them and realize when that crosses over from necessity to addiction.
It's a tough thing, and honestly, most doctors aren't trained very well in it. Training in this has really just increased over the last few years. And an awful lot of doctors, including doctors who treat people exclusively for pain, have very little training in how to recognize addiction in their patients. In fact, one of the myths that was promoted back during the early days of this explosion was the idea of pseudo-addiction, where if you see patients going to the street and buying extra drugs on the street, it's because you're not treating them enough, so you need to increase their dose. And so it was just a vicious cycle. I think most doctors feel very uncomfortable prescribing opioids. But at the same time, we have regulatory agencies like Joint Commission, which supervises hospitals and certifies them. If they don't have that certification, they can't bill insurance. And Joint Commission is really aggressively making us do this whole pain as a fifth vital sign thing and be aggressive about treating. And other physicians, like out in their offices, are subject to patient satisfaction surveys. And if they don't get a good patient satisfaction survey, their salary gets cut. And so doctors are really being penalized for not cooperating and giving more pain management. The worst thing about all of this is that the evidence is mounting that opioids are really not very effective at treating pain. And the CDC just released a statement recently that we have seen a quadrupling of the amount of opioids that have been prescribed in the last 10 years, with a corresponding quadrupling in deaths. And the amount of pain reported by Americans hasn't changed at all.
So what is the alternative for pain management? Where do you think the problem lies? Is it that we are conditioned now to expect a prescription for pain management versus exploring some other options?
Well, I do think that that's been sort of the popular myth. You know, if I give patients something that's not a narcotic, they say, well, when am I going to get some pain pills? And I say, every pill I've prescribed for you is a pain pill. But they view opioids as the pain pills. The other problem is that opioids are intensely rewarding. And when you give somebody something that is intensely rewarding, what it does is make them repeat what happened before they got it. Well, with an opioid, that was thinking, I'm in pain, I need to take this pill. And now the opioids have rewarded them for thinking, I'm in pain, I need to take a pill. And so it distorts even their perception of the pain. That's not to say that there aren't people that do have legitimate pain, but it just creates a confounding of the process. There are actually a scad of different things that can be done to help people with pain, and I could take up the rest of the afternoon talking about them all. But, you know, it's interesting because there is one group that does collect studies, and they look at all the studies together. It's called a meta-analysis. And they come up with sort of a super statement about the effectiveness of various treatments. What they've found is that for people that have had surgery, if you give them one Advil with one extra strength Tylenol, you're three times as likely to cut their pain in half as you are with the amount of oxycodone in three Percocet. And so I think we've been kind of sold a bill of goods about how good narcotics are for pain.
Are there regulations in place? You mentioned doctors need to go through training and be authorized to prescribe these, but are there systems that track patients to avoid them hopping from doctor's office to doctor's office trying to get more pain medication when they don't need it medically but are seeking that high?
Yes, there is. There's a website that's run by the state called the PDMP for Prescription Drug Monitoring Program. And one of the HOPE legislations that Representative Nygren introduced in the last year or two has established that as of April of next year, every physician is going to be required to check that before they write any prescription for a possibly addictive drug. In addition, the State Medical Examining Board has just published guidelines on opioid prescribing that govern or guide physicians throughout the state. They are going to mandate that every physician in Wisconsin must get 2 hours of training in these guidelines in order to get their license renewed next year. So doctors are going to be learning about this.
Do you think this is a positive change for the better? And what kind of feedback have you gotten from other doctors?
Well, selfishly, I do because I'm writing the CME. But I think it's a mixed bag. There are some doctors that feel like we're really cramping their style, and who are we to tell them how to practice medicine? My response to them is, well, we should all be following medical information, the studies, and the studies show that opioids are very poor drugs long term, and they're incredibly dangerous. Just as an example, on a level of opioids that the new guidelines allow people to prescribe at the top of that level, the risk of a patient dying by being on those opioids is increased almost 9 times per year. Now, we've taken drugs off the market for increasing the risk less than 1 time. And the amount of benefit they provide is less than a patient can even appreciate. And there's a term for treatments that don't help people but cause harm. It's called contraindicated, and we're not supposed to do them. Now, some doctors, that's enough for them, and other doctors, it's not.
Do you think the issue therein lies with any incentives doctors may get from pharmaceutical companies to prescribe these? If it's proven, as you said, to be such a risk to patients, yet they still want to give these away or maybe are reluctant to look into other pain management systems, wherein do you think that problem lies?
It's hard to know the level of influence that moneyed organizations have over how medical care develops. They do provide substantial subsidies to a lot of the organizations that make recommendations. I hate to be cynical enough to believe that those organizations would sort of allow that to cloud their judgment, but I suppose that might be human nature. I really think that a lot of this goes more back to just, this is how I learned it. I don't want to have to exert the effort to try to change. But as this problem gets worse and worse, I'm seeing more and more doctors recognize that this is a real problem and they need to make a change.
So what do you think going forward is a doctor's role for their patients and also just in the community?
Well, I think one thing is to learn the safe and effective treatments. There are many of them. They come in two general flavors that we use a lot. One group kind of quiet the pain nerves so they don't talk as loud to the brain. The other group allows the brain to block the pain so it doesn't have to listen to it. And those are very useful. There is a growing body of evidence about treatments for surgery, that when patients are going through surgery, a variety of non-narcotic treatments can be used. Not only do they reduce the need for narcotics, but they actually dramatically reduce how much pain the patient feels and make them more happy with the treatment they received afterwards. And so I think these are going to be an ever-expanding role. So all of these will help us to not create people with drug addiction. There is another side to the problem, though, and that's the horse that's already out of the barn. An awful lot of patients have established drug addiction and really need help getting that fixed. And I think it's really important that we view this from a non-judgmental quality. A lot of drug addiction predisposition is genetic. A lot of it is a base of how much suffering the patient is doing. Maybe they've suffered traumas in their life. We see it particularly among veterans, that they carry a huge burden of pain, makes them more sensitive to this. And some people live in terrible environments. And it's the drugs kind of provide a recess from having to be subjected to that. But addiction is like a computer that's caught a computer virus. We don't blame the computer. We just need to take care of the virus. And I think there's a really compelling role for physicians to play in learning how to provide effective treatment for addiction to the patients that they care for.
And as you mentioned, the legislation is being changed. New protocols will be in place for doctors to follow, yet there are plenty of pills out there right now. There are leftover pills in people's cabinets. Kids get access to them through school or family members. How do we dispose of these properly? One, to recognize that we're done with these pills, we don't need them, and then to dispose of them properly so that they don't make their way into other people's hands.
Well, the EPA doesn't want us creating addicted carp, and so we prefer that people not flush them down the toilet. Lord knows what those carp would do if denied their opiates. I do think it is staggering. Honestly, every year, 9 billion pills of hydrocodone are prescribed in the United States, and roughly half of those are taken. So every year, another 4.5 billion pills of hydrocodone, and that's only one of the many opiates, are building up in people's medicine cabinets. And so I think it's really important that people identify when drug take-back programs are being offered. I know that State's Attorney Brad Schimmel is really trying to increase the number of take-back programs available, and many police departments will take back opioids for patients. And if the police department in your area doesn't have that opportunity, they can tell you where you could go to do that. And I think that's a great idea.
You yourself, as a doctor, how have you felt as things have progressed and as you've gotten trained to prescribe opioids, and then as this epidemic has risen locally and nationally, and then moving forward trying to combat this, how has this progression made you feel personally?
It's hard. I never felt comfortable prescribing the opioids because I worked in a methadone treatment center when I was in residency, and I saw addiction firsthand on a very, very blatant level. And so I've always been very cautious about prescribing. As I've moved into doing pain management, I felt like it was necessary to be very careful, but they were probably not too dangerous. I also thought they were more effective. And as I have learned how ineffective they are and how dangerous they are, I've really felt the need to not only change my own practice, but to really champion the need to change practices throughout our medical community. I'm very grateful to the medical societies for providing me an opportunity to do that, for the opportunity to work with the medical examining board on those guidelines, and now on the continuing education that we're doing for doctors. And I feel like it's our responsibility to try to resolve this problem. We had the prescribing habits imposed on us. Honestly, you know, most doctors I know were not comfortable doing this, but felt like they had to. But now we are the ones who are best positioned to correct the problem.
Well, Dr. Michael McNett, thank you so much for coming in to speak about this today.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Michael McNett is a member of the Medical Society of Milwaukee, a pain management physician, and the leader of the Comprehensive Pain Program Team at Aurora Health. He's also an Opioid Task Force member. For more information about pain management and the efforts to reduce prescription drug abuse, please visit wuwm.com.